Washing your dishes before you wash your dishes? Dirty Labs believes going green in the kitchen should not mean doing extra work. Their bioenzyme dishwasher detergent cuts through stuck on food and leaves dishes sparkling, without compromising on safety or performance. No pre-rinse, no post-rinse, no compromise. Just powerful cleaning made without harsh chemicals. If Dirty Labs can't make you believe in the power of green cleaning, nothing will. Fall in love, or it's free, at dirtylabs.com.
Hey y'all, Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time for the Falcons Report on Dukes and Bell.
Looking, shoots it for the end zone. Intercepted A.J. Terrell.
All the highlights and interviews you need from the Dirty Birds.
Did he hit the pylon? He did. Touchdown Atlanta.
The best the Falcons have to offer right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You shall not pass.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, Hey, man, it is good to have you listening. And yes, Mike and I are both working from home today because of the weather and all that was going on coming up this morning. And then you had the Hawks playing this afternoon. By the way, good win for the Hawks. We'll talk more about that as we move along as well. But if you're just tuning in, there was a lot of football to get to. And we're going to talk more about the Seahawks win as they get a big one and head back to the Super Bowl. It is a rematch, by the way, about 11 years ago. It doesn't seem like that long ago. But Seahawks and New England, which turned out to be a barn burner at the end, and right. We know how that ended. Mike, I hope this Super Bowl ends up being that entertaining.
Yeah, man, I get it. Style makes the fight, and I got to be quite honest with you. I know we had a bad Super Bowl here a couple of years ago. Remember that Rams-Patriots? We arguably would have gotten a better one had the Saints been here, which, of course, would have been completely despicable for Falcon fans to have to endure. But that was a year that the Rams got the benefit of the no pass interference call down in the Superdome. But, I don't know. I mean, for folks who want to sit there and cross their arms, I mean, come on. Seattle's is an exciting team to watch. And, yes, the weather shouldn't be too much of an issue at Levi's Stadium. It will be outdoors. But Drake May and company, Diggs, they got the weapons. They can run the football. I don't know what the over end. We'll get into it over the course of the week. But, yeah, this was one that was – if you're Buffalo, Carl, I think you got to be just scratching your head. Mm. With no Lamar Jackson, no Patrick Mahomes, the referees, however you want to look at it, the two fumbles and the two interceptions, Josh Allen's going to have one long off season because this was the year. And Sean McDermott, for that matter.
I agree. Matthew Stafford, I still think, is going to win the MVP, but obviously he would love to be playing in another Super Bowl. He was great yesterday. The problem was couldn't convert third downs, and we're going to get into this game as we did with the Broncos. Sean Payton, I thought, costing his team an opportunity. Not going to tell you they win, but that game probably is tied into the fourth quarter, and it changes how maybe that game's coaching would have gone. By the way, it's 12 Super Bowls for the Patriots now. That's pretty impressive, man. And when I see all this stuff, Mike, I'm so jealous. I'm like, man, can we get to just a couple? You know what I mean?
I know. I mean, and again, we're going to ask tomorrow is the day. Noon is the press conference. We'll hear it right here on 92.9 The Game. Kevin Stefanski will be announced. No, I presume a general manager is not going to be announced because there's no press release on that. They're still interviewing folks. But we'll get a chance to talk to Stefanski and, questions about, what was your impression of Michael Penix Jr. from afar? I'm sure Matt Ryan's and you were discussing how we're going to get him to be the best Michael Penix Jr. he can be. Is there any chance you've talked about Kirk Cousins? I mean, I don't know if they're going to spill that tea, Carl. That tiny chance that Cousins comes back. Most people just feel it's a salary dump, how they move the numbers. But I'm just curious to see where we're going. I still think the team is loaded, and you said it. You still got some draft picks, still got a second rounder, still got a chance to do some things.
Yeah, I really want to know, and I'm curious to see how much he gets into this, Mike. And as we get and start to have Coach on our show, and we'll be doing the Coach's show and during the season and all of that and leading up to it, we'll get more insight. And as we get more insight into him, we'll certainly share. But I want to know what he's going to do differently here. I want to know what he learned in Cleveland that he is like, if I had to do that over again, I'm not. Those are the things that make you better. Those are the things I'm really curious about. Like, when you lose a gig, even if it's not your fault, you're like, would have done that differently. There's nobody in the business of coaching who doesn't say those things. Mm-hmm. And we're not talking about like on the field decision, guys. Stuff that affects your football team internally and maybe how he went about his business. So, you know, for example, I know that John Harbaugh, it's public now that, you know, he tried to keep the peace between his OC and Lamar Jackson. But the reality is John Harbaugh was also protecting Lamar. And those are the things that ultimately got him fired at the end. And Mike, if you say, well, John, would you do that again? If that meant protecting Jackson, like, is that how you're going to go about your business? How did he handle all of this quarterback stuff? How much was on him? So, Mike, I don't know if he'll answer these things, but those are the things I'm really curious about, because if we're really going to try to say, hey, we're going to give Stefanski an opportunity to show us, which we have to, then I want to know what his approach is going to be. And is it going to be differently, or is it, well, you know, everything I worked was going to work in Cleveland. They just screwed me up. I don't know if it's all that. You know what I mean?
Right. And we talked about, you know, everything that went down up in Cleveland, as best we can give you the information from people who covered Cleveland, right?
Yep.
And we talked to a number of folks that have some tremendous insight in there. I thought the show on Friday, we had people like literally going, holy shnikes. You know, and the lady we had on from Cleveland who gave us some Aditi, who gave some unbelievable information about, you know, the relationship with Shador, relationship with his kids, and being socially aware, and all the things that go basically counter to all of the complete nonsense that was thrown out there about Kevin Stefanski. You know, I mean, the one thing that I'm curious to talk to him, and maybe somebody will ask in the media, is he calling the plays, or is Tommy Rees going to have autonomy?
Yes, please. Do they
draw up the game plan together? And is it really he is the OC the way that, you know, Sean McVay is the OC with the Rams? Will he be willing to, you know, be forthcoming? I just want to look like he's marginalizing his offensive coordinator. But, you know, Tommy Rees, a lot of folks kind of lukewarm on that part of it.
They should. Look, only because he's not a proven – he just got play calling duties over the last few years, especially when he was with Cleveland. So, you know, he was doing some other things, but it wasn't like he was calling the plays the entire time. But I've said this about Kevin as well. It wasn't like he called the plays the entire time. He was trying to delegate at the end, Mike, but I also think there was a lot going on. This is what happens when you're trying to just hold on, right? And you're like, okay, what do I need to do? And we see these coaches make these adjustments. The guys that are confident play callers, and you just named one, Kyle Shanahan, Big Red, right? There's a bunch of guys in this league that are so established at it that it doesn't matter what's going on with the franchise. I'm going to be the guy. That's what I want to know from Kevin Stefanski. Like, I'm coming here to develop Michael Penix, but more importantly, I'm going to be that guy. I'm not coming off of this in 2 years, Mike, because, well, you know, I need to be the CEO of the football team. No. All these really good play callers is what they do. And that's what I'd like to see him be, which is why I've been asking this question the entire time about the OC, and everybody's like, oh, don't worry about it. I'm with you. I kind of want to hear that.
Right. And so we'll see how much – is Matt going to be at the press conference? Matt's going to be there.
He should
so
be.
So a lot more questions, and we'll see. And hopefully if Arthur Blank is listening, Arthur, let these guys speak. With all due respect, Arthur.
I'm not a meddler.
I know it's your team. If I could just expand – no, Arthur, don't expand on that. Let's just hear what Stefanski has to say, man. And, yeah, you can still rewind. I know last week, if you missed it, but Aditi Kinkabala, who Carl talked about from NFL on CBS, and she also does all the preseason work with the Browns, gave us some amazing insight about this. And then we later found out – I was joking with Carl last hour – I think the NFL realizes that, but thanks to ESPN, Shador Sanders kind of moves the needle. So they put him on the Pro Bowl team. Now, again, there is no Pro Bowl anymore. It's flag football and a bunch of grab ass. But 13 other AFC quarterbacks, Carl, had more touchdowns, more completion percentage, including Geno Smith, Joe Flacco, and Cam Ward.
Wow.
Drake May is busy. I just tweeted this earlier about an hour ago. Josh Allen tapped out. Presumably Trevor Lawrence said he wasn't interested in being in this. So you could actually make the argument that Cam Ward had better numbers in Tennessee than Shador had in Cleveland. But for those people like Jamel Hill and certainly, you know, I know there's a lot of folks out there that are fired up, pumping up Shador, and maybe Shador will be a star. He does make a Pro Bowl, but people are literally laughing out loud when you look at how he compares with the rest of the AFC quarterbacks.
Yeah, look, and you're right. Does he sell tickets or at least bring more interest or eyeballs? Probably. Right. Yeah, I do agree with that. But you're right about the merit of this. If it was just solely about the merit, there are others who are deserving. But okay, great.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, okay, cool. You're going to take advantage of this.
Yeah, but it doesn't even matter.
No, it doesn't. And Mike, I really want to see this is the thing now. All of these things that apparently were hampering him or that were in the way. And I've said this, I don't care about Cleveland. I really don't. Like, you know, I was doing a show there and like my national show was on there and I got a lot of love from Cleveland. But at the end of the day, I don't care about Cleveland football. What is interesting is how so many people just want to place the blame on Stefanski. And now that's been removed. When you start removing things from an equation, then right. We start to see what a person's really like. And I'm going to see, we'll see if Shador can really play or not when his new coach gets there. But I will tell you, Mike, he better get a good one because the coach does matter.
Well, that's just it. They have to find a coach first. And that's the thing. When we talked about it and people saw it, it literally seemed like you've got to be kidding me. Filling out an essay, some kind of personality examination. This is what they're asking guys with NFL backgrounds. So there is a dysfunction in Cleveland. You talked about, you know, the Deshaun Watson, how that put the franchise behind the eight ball. And there's things that now, again, up in Cleveland, there's so many folks that are so interested to see how he does down here. And they're looking at us like, they make us look like the New England Patriots, Carl, compared to how dysfunctional they are. You know, what Stefanski's coming up to. So, but like I said, only time will tell. You know, my guy was Kubiak. If Kubiak doesn't get hired, you can't compare it until next year. So we'll just have to wait and see. And look, a lot of Falcon fans were very excited. They wanted Ulbrich to know Ulbrich was going to be here. He is. And we have a special teams coordinator coming up from Miami. If you want to take some time and Google and deep dive what Miami special teams were, that's the guy. So there's our team. And now we wonder, is Matt going to have the big say in the draft? Because the only thing missing, and it, by the way, is it curious to you or doesn't bother you? We don't have a GM yet.
No, I mean, it doesn't bother me because we're the only team searching for one. So for the first time, there's no race. There is no, if we don't put the bid in, we're not going to get the guy we want. I think they can really take their time and hopefully bring in the right guy. And by the way, what you'd hope, Mike, is that this is a person that grooms and eventually becomes the guy that Matt is, right? That's what you're hoping. You're hoping you get a guy that eventually becomes this football, you know, president of football, and, you know, Matt then becomes an advisor or whatever the hell he's going to do. I don't know if Matt wants to be in this long term. Maybe he does. Maybe he wants to be John Elway in 10 years. I don't know. But I will say, if you're bringing in a general manager and somebody who's been in these front offices, hopefully there's somebody that not only you believe in now, but you can believe in down the road. And, Mike, they help grow this football team.
Right. And I know that I like – this is just me. I don't think I'm alone in this. I don't mind if Matt is that guy and we bring in the, you know, quote, junior partner and he grows into that position or not. I mean, I think Les Cooks – I know we talked about they're bringing a guy in that worked with Quinn, who worked with Stefanski before, so they're going to have a consultant. I don't need, you know, five guys stirring the pot. I kind of like the idea of one vision. You know, we spent all last week talking about how weird it was between McDermott and the general manager in Buffalo, and did it get sideways with DaCosta and Harbaugh in Baltimore? Everyone tries to make it look like it's kumbaya and they're collaborative and all these, you know, buzzwords. I got no problem if Matt is the guy, you know, putting this whole thing together.
I would tell you that I think if Matt had experience, that is probably what we'd be facing. If Matt had done this for 5, 6, 8 years, whatever.
Right.
Then I do think, Mike, it'd be an easier sell to say he's running everything. But with no experience, I think it's a hard sell. And I also think Matt doesn't know everything. Like, he's not aware of a lot of the stuff that goes on in the inner workings in league offices and team offices. Like, that's not what he's done, right? He's been a hell of a quarterback. And now I'm throwing all this information at you, and I'm throwing this at you with the intent of you helping us make decisions. That's not easy to process when you're just getting into this. And so I think, to your point, like, if he had real experience, I think then, yeah, they probably would.
Too often, green laundry detergents come with a compromise. They're better for the planet, but worse at the one thing that matters most, cleaning your clothes. Dirty Labs believes you shouldn't have to lower your standards for the sake of sustainability. Using advanced green chemistry, they created a detergent that uses an entirely new cleaning engine, inspired by the genius of nature. If Dirty Labs can't make you believe in the power of green cleaning, nothing will. Fall in love, or it's free, at dirtylabs.com.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Do that. But the irony is, like when John Elway, and I use him as an example, when Bolin made him the general manager, he made him the general manager.
Right.
You know what I mean? There was no ifs, ands, or buts. And then he let John go cook and hopefully evaluate the talent. So if I think that is probably why they chose this route, but who knows?
Yeah, because you go back and you say, all right, well, John Lynch, they surrounded John Lynch. Like, guys were asking us a few weeks ago, well, what does Matt know about the salary cap? He probably doesn't know anything about the salary cap.
But most of these guys
don't. We got guys. They got an entire wing of office people doing that. So, yeah, is there people that would dot the I and cross the T's?
Washing your dishes before you wash your dishes? Dirty Labs believes going green in the kitchen should not mean doing extra work. Their bioenzyme dishwasher detergent cuts through stuck-on food and leaves dishes sparkling, without compromising on safety or performance. No pre-rinse, no post-rinse, no compromise. Just powerful cleaning made without harsh chemicals. If Dirty Labs can't make you believe in the power of green cleaning, nothing will. Fall in love, or it's free, at dirtylabs.com.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.